This guy's story reads like spy fiction. Roman Seleznev is the illegitimate son of a prominent Russian politician and Putin ally. He grew up in poverty with an alcoholic mother who died when he was a teenager, without a mother and abandoned by his powerful father. 17-year-old Seleznev ended up living on the streets. He didn't have much formal education, but he discovered he had a lucrative talent.
It turned out he had a knack for computers and understanding and writing computer code, and he got a job at a little computer shop in Vladivostok, and as he put it, he turned to the dark side, and he started doing cybercrime.
Mike Carter's been reporting this story for the Seattle Times. He says Seleznev went on to steal and sell hundreds of millions of dollars worth of credit card numbers, many of them from businesses here in Washington State. U.S. authorities chased Seleznev around the globe. Finally, they arrested him and brought him to Washington for trial. He was just convicted and sentenced to 27 years in prison. Carter says the hacking life was very good to Seleznev in the beginning.
He was good at it. He was an entrepreneur. He created marketplaces on the dark web where people could go and buy and exchange credit card numbers, and he would sell them, and they'd be fresh and they'd be new, and he was turning them over at an amazing rate.
He knew their value, and he would sell them to people who would
right.
Who would
he set up a market. He did. I mean, workups of his website, and it was like Amazon.com. It was sophisticated and quick, and it was ongoing. That I think in one website, a Secret Service agent told me that they had one website that they had watched and monitored, and they had figured that he had made $17 million himself. I mean, in profits off of the sale of these credit cards, and that was just one site that he was running, and he was running several others. So he was going at it hard and heavy.
And it sounds like he was living about the life you'd expect if you've seen Russian gangster playboy movies.
Yeah, he was living a bit of a. I mean, it was a little bit of a cliche. He had a lot of flat brimmed hats and wore them sideways and bought American muscle cars. He had an affinity for Dodge Chargers and Challengers, and he would buy them and have them shipped over and roar around the streets of Moscow, piles of cash and bling and the apartments and the boats and the girls and all the stuff that you'd expect. Like I say, it was kind of cliched.
Why was his trial here in Washington?
Here, there were several businesses that were targeted by Seleznev with this malware. I think the most prominent everybody, I think, probably has heard of was the Broadway Grill.
Yeah.
On Capitol Hill went out of business. They went bankrupt, and a good part of their bankruptcy, and there was testimony at the trial to this, had to do with losses that they incurred trying to recover from the thefts that occurred from their business through the software that Seleznev had implanted in his business.
Yeah, it was a lot of restaurants.
There were
pizza
a lot
places.
Of restaurants.
Why?
That was the amazing thing is, you know, Seleznev would, with his malware, with this software, this Trojan horse that he would plant, would target businesses that had high customer turnovers. And usually that would include restaurants and some retail outlets because they have a lot of different customers and a lot of people are using credit cards. And he'd have it on the market within hours of you having bought your burrito. It was pretty amazing.
Should that make us scared to buy burritos, et cetera?
I don't know about burritos, but I mean, I always am concerned about cybercrime. I cover federal courts and I see this sort of stuff a lot. And there's a lot of people out there just stealing stuff all the time. They do it sloppily. They do a few. It's frightening.
How did the Secret Service finally get him?
Well, they'd been tracking him. I mean, literally, they had been watching him. They had a task force working on this case for years. They may have had a hint or a tip. That's never been clear to me. You know, Seleznev had connections in law enforcement. And again, when he left Russia to go to Bali, he claimed it was because he was beaten. The feds claim it's because they had been to Russia trying to get permission to arrest him, and somebody in law enforcement, or perhaps his father, they think, tipped him off to the fact that the Americans were looking for him, and that's why he went to Bali.
And then that story takes a twist. A few years ago, Roman Seleznev has decided to reconcile with his father. This is 2011. They decide to meet in Morocco. Roman ends up the victim of a terrorist bombing.
Well, that's an interesting story. Again, Seleznev had come to Morocco to meet his father. And his father, again, is a fellow named Valery Seleznev. He's a member of the Russian parliament. And they had been estranged for some long period of time, and they were trying to reconcile. And so Seleznev went into a small restaurant in the ground floor of the hotel that he was staying in, and a suicide bomber set off a backpack that detonated, and I think the number killed was 24, but it was more than 20. It was just a horrific bombing. You know, there are people out there who question the coincidence of the bombing and Roman Seleznev being there, given the fact that at the time it happened, he was probably the most prolific cyber criminal in the world. But there's no real evidence that I'm aware of, or that anybody's told me, that he was the target of the bombing. But, you know, it certainly has raised eyebrows. Nevertheless, he was horribly injured. He had a terrible open head wound. They had to fly him back to Moscow. He was in a hospital in a coma for a number of weeks. When I first saw him come into court, his head is just laced with these scars through his hair, where he underwent surgery after surgery to repair the damages that he suffered in this bombing. He was very lucky he lived. Nobody thought he was going to ever really function again. His wife left him, and he recovered, and in fact recovered well enough that 3 years later he was on a vacation in the Maldives when the Secret Service snapped him up at the airport.
So Roman Seleznev, this convict now, is the son of a Russian politician. You claim in your article that the father gave Roman protection. Russia claims Seleznev was kidnapped when the U.S. arrested him. How do U.S.-Russian relations figure into this story?
We don't really know what back channel sort of communications have occurred. I've heard about some. There have been talk about trading him for others,
Edward Snowden?
Edward Snowden. Oh. Thank you. My goodness. Yeah, I had heard that from a fairly credible source that at some point there was some discussion about maybe trying to trade him for Edward Snowden because of his father's connection. His father's in the Duma, which is the Russian parliament, and he's a supporter and leans probably even a little further to the right than Vladimir Putin, but he's certainly acquainted with Putin. And we all know that the relationship between Russia and Putin and President Trump are pretty complicated right now. We're not quite sure what's going.
So let's see. Crime doesn't pay. I know that.
Well, it pays in the beginning.
It pays great for a while. Crime pays really well for a while.
Short period of time.
What to you is the lesson of the saga of Roman Seleznev?
Well, the whole issue of cybercrime is, and we hear about it a lot. And it's frightening to me the extent and the abilities that these cyber criminals are coming up with to steal our information. We hear about these data breaches all the time, and a million social security numbers or, you know, 10 million identities from an insurance company or something. You know, that information can be used, and I think people don't put two and two together sometimes.
What do we do with that information?
Become Luddites, I think.
Yeah?
Scissors?
Meet credit card.
Off. Turn your computer off and use cash.
Cash only. All right. Mike Carter is the Seattle Times legal affairs reporter who's followed the story of Roman Seleznev and his many pilferings, including in Washington State retail spots. Mike, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you for having me.